The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, ve amen.
Daf Nun He. Today's daf is being studied. They do Nishmat Mor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sarah. Bemarat Zekenati Yafa Bat Sarah. Bidun Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Aiden Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Fuat Shlema, Moshe Ben Dina, ve Sarah Bat Rahel, ve Natan Ben Shulamit. Enna refer lahem. Fuat Nefesh, ufuat Guf, ufuatam Kribal Abba. Vechen Yirasom and Omar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mindalat Amud Bet, and we are two lines from the bottom. Sha'al Rabbi Hanina ben Agil et Rabbi Hiya bar Abba. Vepene ma bedberot rishonot lo ne'emar bahem tov. Ubedberot aharonot ne'emar bahem tov. He's in the first set of the Aser Deberot. It doesn't say the word Tov. There's no word that has the root of Tov in it. However, in the second set of the Berot, it says by Kibud Av, Lema'an Yitav Lach. So he asked him, why is the word Tov mentioned in the second version and not the first? Amar lo, Ad she'ata sho'aleni lama ne'emar bahem Tov. Before you ask me the question, why? Sho'aleni im ne'emar bahem Tov ve'im Nav. First, ask me if I even know that there's a difference between the first ones and the second ones. You're already telling me a fact. Why? Before you tell me why, tell me that I don't even know that that's so. Which is hard to imagine that one of the rabbis, he says, She'eni yodeya im ne'emar bahem tov im lav. I don't even know if it says tov in this one or that one. It's hard to imagine that one of the great rabbis of the Gemara did not know the text of the Aseret HaDeberot. And then he sends him, he says, Klach etzel Rav Tanhum Bar Hanilai. You want to answer to your question, go to Rabbi Ravin Tanhum Bar Hanilai. Sheya Ragil etzel Rabbi Yoshua Ben Nevi. Sheya Baki Ba'agada. He's the expert in these type of questions, Agadot. You know, Dirashot and things like that. He says, but I can answer the question. So they talk about this over here. The Tosfot and Baba Batra. And that Kufyut Gimal holds that Rabbi Chaya bar Abbas Devarav Kipshutam. He didn't know if it said the word Tov in the Deberot or not. However, the Mefarshim Metameya on this Tosafot, you can say Rabbi didn't really know the Girsa over here. So they tried to explain it. He brings over here Yesh Lomar that the Rif on the Ein Yaakov says Shrebi Chaya bar Abba. He knew that. That in Yitro doesn't say the word Yitavlach. Right, the first Luchot broke at the Egel. Veluchot Sheniyot Shnetu Lachar Miken, who estapek eze nosach nechtav beluchot rishonot veeze b'sheniyot. He got confused which was the first text and which was the second text. שכפי שהתבהר ממשך הגמרא, שאלתו של רבי חנינא בן עגיל מבוסס על ההנחה, שנוסח הדברות הראשונות היה כתוב בלוחות הראשונות, ונוסח הדברות האחרות היה כתוב בלוחות השניות. Which means, he said, לוחות ראשונות, לוחות שניות, he knew there were two texts, but he didn't know which text was written on which set of לוחות. So that was what he was saying. He says, before you're asking me, you know, what's the difference between the first one and the second one? I didn't know that. That you tell me that the second version was written on the second Luchot. Could be the second version was written on the
first Luchot, because it says in Vayet Hanan, doesn't mean it was, could be that was the first version, and the one in Yitro was the second one. We don't, you know. So he says, you tell me that fact, fine. But he knew that there was a discrepancy, meaning between the word Tov and not. Okay? You have to say something. Azal legabin. So he went to Rav Tarhum. Amar le, memenu lo shamati. He says, I didn't hear from Rabbi Yeshua directly a derasha on this. Ela kach amar li Shmuel bar Nahum, ahi immo shel Rabbi Ahab Rabbi Hanina, va'amri la abi immo shel Rabbi Ahib Rabbi Hanina, hu'il v'sofan lehishtaber. Because the first luchot were destined to break, and therefore Borei Olam did not put the word tov in that luchot. Why? V'chi sofan lehishtaber, may have it. So they're going to break. Why, you can't put the word tov in it? Amar Rav Ashi, Chas v'Shalom, Paska Tova miYisrael. Wow, which means if the first Luchot would have broke, which they did, with the word Tov in it, that would have already, the Tov would have broke with it, and Chas v'Shalom would have affected the good, the bounty that would come down to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Borei Olam, knowing that the first Luchot were going to be broken, so he spared us from writing the word Tov, so we shouldn't have to have the broken Tov. That wouldn't have been good for Klai Yisrael. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Haro'e Tet Bahalomo. Guy has a dream. He sees the letter Tet in his dream. Siman Yafelo. It's a good sign. My Ta'ama, Idema Mishum Dichtiv Tov. Because Tet stands for the word Tov. Ema, what do you mean? There's other words also that start with Tet that are not so good. What's the word over here? Vetetitia kimta'ate hashmid. Borei Olam says in the Navi, I'm going to sweep them out in a sweep of destruction. And you see, there's a lot of tets in that word. So therefore, maybe it means a bad thing. So Gemara says, no, had tet ka'aminina. We're saying we see just one tet. We didn't see a whole list of tets. That pasuk has a lot of tets. We're saying one tet for tov. Emma, I'll tell you. Tum'ata b'shuleha. It says in Echa. Tum'ata b'shuleha. That's referring to the time that the Jewish people were in the times of Galut. The sins of Yerushalayim were revealed to everybody. And therefore the prophet Yirmiyah is bemoaning the sins that the people did by Galui. And therefore it brought down the Puranut. And it says, V'teret Pedaim en Menachemna. Tum'ata b'shuleha. The Tum'ah is evident. So maybe the word Tet stands for Tum'ah. So the Gemara says, Tet bet ka'amrinan. When I said in the Tet in a dream, I meant the letter Tet and Bet, which stands for Tob. So the Gemara says, wait. Ema tab'u ba'ar she'areha. Tet bet, the word tab'u, drowned or buried. When it talks about the destruction of the Bet HaMikdash, it says the gates of the Bet HaMikdash got buried under the ground. So maybe when you see a Tet bet in the dream, it's referring to the tab'u she'areha, which is not a good thing. So Gemara says, "Ela hoil upatach bo akatuv letobat tehila, shemebereshit ad vayal Elohim etaor lo katav tet." Good. The first tet in the Torah is written where vayal Elohim etaor ki tov. So therefore, when you see a tet, you're right. There's other tets in the Torah that maybe are negative, but when you see the letter tet in the dream, you go back to the first tet in the Torah. And the first tet ever in the Torah is on the word tov, and therefore tet in a dream is a good siman, and therefore goes back to its root when the first usage was, and therefore it is indeed a good sign. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, haro'eh hesped behalom. The person sees a eulogy in a dream, hasu alav ben hashamayim ufda'uhu. They had mercy on him in the shamayim, and they redeemed him. The Hani Midi Bikhtava. But this is talking about where you saw the word Hesped. Hey, Samikhpedal. You saw it in a dream in the letters. So that means there was supposed to be Hesped on the guy, and they saved his life and they redeemed him. So we learned in the Mishnah that mazik doesn't
if a shor falls into a bor, or a hamor falls into a bor, we said not only shor v'hamor, huadin, haya, ve'of, all animals are included. And all the laws, whether it's kil'ayim, whether it's on the lava of hasima, or the muzzling law, or the kil'ayim law, the cross-breeding law, even though in the Torah it only refers to some animals, the hakamim learned from derashot, like on Shabbat it says shorecha v'hamorecha, means all animals included, including haya, va'of as well. Amar Rish Lakish, kan shana Rabbi, it was over here that Rabbi learned. Tanegol, that is a chicken. Tavas, how does he explain it? Tavas,
peacock.
Okay. Upisioni,
partridge.
Okay, from the bird family. Kilayim zebaze. So if you crossbreed any of these, even though they're all birds, but they are considered kilayim. It is considered crossbreeding, which is asur. Psita, because of course the different species. Amar Habiba Meshum Dirabu Bahade Hadadi. Since they grow together, they live in the same environment, so you would have thought that they're all the same species, since they develop in the same environment. Kamash Ma'alan, that no, that the three different birds that were mentioned are considered three species for Kil'ayim. Amar Shemuel, okay, Avaz. Did you say Avaz is a goose?
Yeah.
The Avaz Habar is the wild goose. Kilayim Zebaze. It's also two species. And therefore you cannot crossbreed them. But Kiflarababar Rav Hanan, Maitama. What makes them different species? Ilema Mishum Dehai Arich Kure Vehai Zutar Kure. That one of them has a long beak. And one of them has a short beak, and as she says, and the word kore, hartumo beak bilaz, which means could be that's the difference between them, that their beaks, one is a big one, one is a small one. Elameata gamla parsa ve gamla taya, different types of camels. One is called the gamla parsa, one is called the gamla taya, which is an Arab Arabian camel. Dehai alim kua, again one has a long neck. Ve'aykatin kuae, and one has a short neck. Hakan amed da'avi kilayim zebaze. And the Gemara was assuming that a camel is a camel. And everyone okay, big neck, small neck. So the beak of the bird, of the goose, is not going to make a difference. So then why is it kilayim? What's the difference between the two geese? Ela amarabaye zebetzav mebahutz vezebetzav mebifnim. So it depends where the betzim of the animal are. One, the betzim are on the outside, and one are on the inside. As she said, this is the betzim of the zachar. Okay? You could see the wild goose that she says. It's on bachutz. But the other one is betzim. La papa amar, hay te'una hada bi'ata b'shechla, ve'hay te'una kama bi'ata b'shechla. Oh, different differences, how many eggs they lay at a time. So one says that they only give birth to one at a time. That she says, the avazabar, it only carries one egg at a time. It seems the regular goose holds a couple of them inside of it, even before it lays them. So there are differences between avaz and avazabar. Amar Yirmiya, Amar Shlakish, Amar Biya, Shnei Minim Shebayam, Loke. Okay, interesting. If a person, let's say, crossbreeds two species in the water, so person gets Malkut. I mean, don't think that the crossbreeding only applies to species on land, that it also applies to species that are in the water. My tama, what's the reason? Amar of Adda Barahaba Meshemedeula Atya Leminehu Leminehu Yabasha. It says in Biryata Ulam, when it's talking about the animals, it uses the word Leminehu. It says in the Torah, by the Haya, and the behemah, that Borei Olam created each one lemina. Okay? And it says by the Ba'alei Chaim Shebayam, leminehim. So therefore we make a gezerah shava, that whatever applies to the species on the land, which means crossbreeding is asur, similarly also this applies to the species in the water. Now I'm going to ask an interesting question. Ba'ei Rehava. Rehava was a rabbi's name. Hamanhig be'izah v'shibbutah mahu. You're not allowed to take two animals, different species, and plow them together. You cannot put them on the same bit and plow them. Lo taharosh shor v'chamor yahdav. We learn shor v'chamor lav davka. Any two species you cannot put together and draw them on the wagon in order to plow the field. So the Gemara wants to know, what about an animal like a goat, an ez, and a fish? Can you plow together with them? Now, how would you plow with a fish? So that she says, "Hamanhig bi'izav shibuta kashar karon le'ez." You tie the wagon to the goat, v'dag ze saf alamayim, and the fish is next to it in the water, v'ze moshech imo asfat hayam. Which means you have the water, and the fish is in the water. You have the karon on the ground, and the ez is on the ground, and you tie the fish to the rope. Now the fish starts to swim in the water, and the ez starts to walk on the land, and as a result of the force, it's pushing the karon, and it's plowing. So is there cross-plowing law by a animal and a fish? That is the she'ela. Manhig be'iza v'shibbuta. Now, mi amrinan, do we say, kevan de'iza lo nahit b'yam, v'shibbuta lo salik d'yabasha, lo klum abid. Do you say that what? That the only time you have, when we're talking about species, is species from the same habitat. But since over here, the ez doesn't go in the water, and the shibuta fish doesn't go on the land, no, when it says lo tahrosh shor b'chamor, it means species that are from the frame, the same habitat. Or dilma hashtamiya kamanhig. Well, bottom line, what do I care? Bottom line right now, the fish is definitely pulling the plow, and therefore you are plowing with two different species. What do I care? Different habitats. Matkifna ravina. So ravina has a question. Ela me'ata chiber chita v'sora b'yedo. Guy, let's say, took, you're not allowed to cross plant either. You're not allowed to plant, let's say, a chita and a se'ora. Correct? So therefore, what did he do? He took the chita se'ora in his hand. V'zara chita ba'aris. He planted the chita in Eretz Yisrael, where the law of kil'eh kerim applies, where the law of crossbreeding applies in planting. V'se'ora b'chutz la'aris. And you put the se'ora and chutzlaaretz on the border. So you put one right over here, the chita, and in chutzlaaretz, the laws of crossbreeding in plants do not apply in the Torah. So therefore, you put one over here, one over here. So the Gemara says, "Hakin amid the mechayev." Are you going to say you're hayav? You're not hayav, even though they're next to each other. But since there is a little space between them, so you're going to be patur. Similarly, when it comes to this plowing over here, since you have the water separated by the land, so it's going to be patur. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kilayim bechutz la'aris lo nahaga, the mitzvah tiluya ba'arisi, v'chol chovat karka enu noig ela ba'aris min haTorah." Right, which means in Eretz Yisrael, that's the law of planting, and therefore anything that's a law of the land doesn't apply in chutz la'aris. So therefore, Gemara says, just like if you were to plant one chita on one side of the border and a se'ora on the other side of the border, so you have a separation between the two, so therefore you're not going to be hayav. Similarly, the person has the animal on the land and you have the water separating it with the fish, so therefore it's not considered together. So the Gemara, what's your analogy? Hachi. Hachi ashta. Is it analogous? The reason why you're patur in that case is because it's in two different Hayuv zones. One is in the Hayuv zone, Israel, and the Sa'ra is in the Ptur zone. However, Hacha Idi V'Idi Hayuvahu. But here, they're both in the Hayuv zone. This is in the water, and the fish is pulling the wagon, and this is on the land. And therefore, you have no Dayan. As she says, Imayam Manik Sefina Bayam Beshne Dagim Sheshne Minim Hayav. Oh. Which means the water is a Hayuv zone. How do I know that? She says, let's say I have a boat, and I take two fish, and I tie it to the front of the boat, and it pulls the boat. I'll be Hayav. Because you're not allowed to put two fish together and let them work together. So therefore, the water is definitely a Hayuv zone. We just want to know now if you're combining the water with the eyes. Don't be ra'iyah from planting Haytan in Israel and the Sa'urah Hutzlaris. That's a Hayuv zone and that's a Patur zone. That's why you're Patur. Oh, so could be Hayav. And if Gemara leaves it in a Sheila, and therefore, since it's a Safek Doraita, so therefore the poskim say, Safek Doraita Lechumra. And therefore, Lama say, you would not be allowed to tie an ez with a Shibuta fish and plow your field. That's halakha lemaase. Hadran alach shor shenagah et hapara. Now we begin the sixth perek of the second Baba Kama, perek hakones. Hakones son ladir. A person brings his sheep into the deer. What is the deer? The pen. Right? That's where he watches his sheep. Right? V'na'al b'fanea kara'uy. And he locked, he put a door in front of them. Kara'uy, what does kara'uy mean? Properly. Proper protection. Yetz'av izika, and still it broke out. And damaged. So the Mishnah's deen is patur. Why? Rashi top line. Dehan natra. He watched it. Umay havi lele mi'ibad. What do you want him to do? He watched it. You can't ask him to do more. Lo na'al b'faneha kara'uy. Oh, but if he did not watch the animals properly, he didn't put the proper protection, the door. The yatz'ave zikan, the animal went out and damaged hayav. Okay, because he did not make a proper shemira. Nifresa balayla. Let's say the fence of the field fell down at night. The fence came apart. Oshe parsu halistin, or robbers came at night and broke the fence and the animal escaped. V'yatz avizika patur. What's the reason over there? At night, what do you want from the guy? The guy had his fence up. There's no way for him to know what happened. In the day, if this happened, he'd be hayav, maybe. Because he should have found out. But in the night, he's sleeping. Therefore, you cannot hold him responsible. That's a total onus. Whether the fence fell at night, or the robbers broke in and let the animals loose. So in that case, we had tzavizika patur. Hotzi'u alistim. Oh, if the robbers themselves, mamash, took the animals out, then listim, hayavim, then they are hayav. It sounds like in the first case, the robbers are patur. Because maybe they only get amada, they just broke the fence. Then the animals went out on their own. In this second case, where the robbers actually took the animals out, biyadayim, and they caused the damage, the Gemara is going to make a difference between these two cases. Nifritza balayla, okay, we saw that. Hiniha behama. What did you do? You let the animal stand in the sun. And what happens? The animal now gets agitated from standing in the sun, and therefore it goes out and damages. Look at that sheep. Hiniha behama mitza'ara la shimsha. The sun is giving it ta'ab. Even if you have a door in front of it, not enough. Why? You have a regular door that could stand under normal conditions, normal wind conditions. But when you put it in the sun, so therefore the animal gets agitated and therefore breaks out, you're going to be hayav. Or you gave the animal over to a watchman. Who's the watchman? They're not capable. The yatzav zika, and the animal went out and did damage. So the deen is hayav. The owner of the animal is hayav. You gave it over to people that are incapable. Masra, you gave the sheep over to the shepherd to watch. Nichnas haro'e tachtav. The shepherd takes the place of the owner. He becomes responsible. Nafla legina. Okay, what happened? The animal fell into the garden. He was on the roof of the Baal, and he fell off the roof, and he landed in the neighbor's garden. Okay? And what did he do? Vene'elit. And he benefited from the perot that were in the field. How did he benefit? Either he ate the fruit, or he landed on the fruit, and the fruit broke his fall, and therefore he has a hana'ah from the perot. So what's the deen over there? Mishalemet mashenehenit. So the animal, the owner has to pay what it benefited. Which means it pays according to the hana'ah and not according to the hezek. Since this nefila over here was be'onis, so therefore we don't make you pay for the actual damages itself. He just has to pay for the hana'ah. Okay, and we'll see exactly how you calculate the payment for hana'ah, which this is a payment of shin. Shin means when you go into your friend's field, the animal that is, and benefits either eating or hana'ah of some sort from the perot. Okay? For example, let's say the animal ate the fruit. Okay? So you would have had to feed the animal anyway. So you just have to pay the difference of what you would have fed the animal to what it ate. You would have fed it food that's worth $10. It ate fruit over that's worth $20. So you only have to pay $10 because that's what the hana'ah was. Okay? Masha'ekin, if you'd have to pay masha'ezika, then it would be $20. So there was, since over here it wasn't kavanah lazik, get the rules. Kavanah lazik would be different. You have to pay masha'ezika. Here it was honest. The animal fell off the roof, landed in the guy's field. So the deen is, he pays ma shenehenit. And Mishnah says, yalda kedarka ve'zika. Oh, but if the animal went down, on purpose, normal derech, into somebody else's field and damaged, mishalem et ma shezika. That's already a pishia. And therefore you have to pay full damages. Even when you pay full damages, it's not full damages. How do you make a calculation? Let's say it ate one furrow in the field. How do you calculate the actual damage per se? So the Mishnah gives us a very important rule. Shamin bet se'a be'ota sadeh kama hayta yafa ve'kama hi yafa. You calculate the depreciation of the entire field. You don't judge the furrow itself. That's an expensive payment. The Torah had mercy on the Mazik, because he didn't do it biyadayim, it was his animal that did the damaging. Okay, so he's guilty, but you calculate it like this. The guy's buying a field, betse'ah, it's a big field, let's say, right? And one furrow is damaged. He's not going to discount it that much, because basically you're getting a big field. But Sheikin, if you're looking at the furrow itself, alone, it's much more damage. It's like the difference between retail and wholesale. Right, you sign the guy a whole big field over there, so the damage is not that much. So therefore, the Gemara Mishnah is teaching us over here that you pay according to the larger calculation of the entire field. Look at Rashi, please. Shamin bet se'ah be'otah sadeh. Look at Rashi and the Mishnah. En shamin et ha'arugah lebada. You don't analyze. You don't assess the role itself, because you're going to hurt the mazik, it's too expensive. Sheshamin ota bechos shobya, v'rachmana amar, here's the key words, ubi'er b'sne aher, v'darshinam b'gemara melamed sheshamin oto al gabe sade aheret. They learn from the words ubi'er b'sne aher, that you calculate the damage according to another field, meaning according to a larger field. Ela shamin bet se'a beota sade. Kama ita yafe kodem shenechla bemena aruga azot vekama yafa akshav. Vashta lo mashalem ko leuda mea. You have to pay the whole thing. Demish lokeach bet se'a kashi betmuata. Eno mezalzel ba bishul efsed aruga achat. Kim devar muat. He doesn't discount it so much just because a little of it is damaged. Very good. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Achla perot gemurim. If the animal ate ripened fruit, right? Meshalemet perot gemurim. So the owner has to pay back perot gemurim. Im se'ah, se'ah, ve'im sataim, sataim, depending on how much he ate. According to the Bishimon, this leniency that we just said was talking about only on unripened fruits. But ripened fruits, you have to pay full price. We will see exactly where he gets that from in the Gemara. Now we start the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, you told me in the Mishnah, if a person has sheep in his pen, akoneh son ladir, and what? V'na'al b'faneha kara'uy, and he put a door in front of his sheep, kara'uy. What does kara'uy mean? Properly. So Gemara says, what is that mean? Ke'ezehu kara'uy. Ve'ezehu shelo kara'uy. And what is considered not kara'uy? So Gemara says, deret, she'echola la'amod beruach mesuya. If the door can stand from normal winds, ze kara'uy. She'enu yechola la'amod beruach mesuya. But if it cannot stand, even on normal winds, ze shelo kara'uy. That's the factor. Amar av mani bar patish. Mantana, who is the author that says what? Mu'ad, the sagi le bishmira pehuta, the biyudahi. Our Mishnah is talking about, it's assuming, a mu'ad, where the animal already is a gorer. Okay? So you need to bake a shemira. How much shemira do you need for a mu'ad from our Mishnah? Shemira pehuta. It's enough just to put a regular door that can stand under normal winds. So there must be a shita out there that says, a mu'ad, or it's adequate enough just to make a shemira pehuta for a mu'ad. Who's the rabbi that says that for a mu'ad, shemira pehuta is enough? How do I know that I'm making a shemira pehuta now, Mishnah? Because it says you put a door. What type of door? Kara'uy. What is ra'uy? It can stand under normal winds. That's a shemira pehuta. That's a minimum shemira. Who's the rabbi that says that Shemira Pehuta is good enough for a Mu'ad? Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know that? Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Kashro Be'alav Be'mosera. If let's say the owner's tied up his shor. Be'mosera. Mosera is like the reins. Right? V'na'al lefanav kara'uy. And you lock the door in front of it, and it went out and damaged. Echad tam ve'echad mu'ad hayav, divrei Rabbi Meir. Which means, according to Rabbi Meir, whether it's a tam, whether it's a mu'ad, you need a good shemira. Just locking the door in front of it is not enough. That's Rabbi Meir shita. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tam Hayav, Mu'ad Patur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. For a Tam, you need a good Shemira. But for Mu'ad, as long as you put a regular Shemira, you're okay. Shre'emar, by a Mu'ad, what does the Torah say? Ve'lo yishmerenu be'alav. And the owners did not watch it. Ve'shamur huze. And the guy did watch it. All the Torah says is, if you didn't watch it, you Hayav by Mu'ad. And he watched it. So therefore, who's the author of our Mishnah? The Biyuda. Our Mishnah is talking about a Mu'ad. And what does it say? V'na'al lefanav kara'uy. So you see, who's the opinion that says Shemira Pehuta is enough? Must be, it is indeed the Biyuda. What's the logic in that? Stam, a wilder animal, you need less Shemira. So we once explained that usually a animal that's a Mu'ad, the people know about a Mu'ad. And therefore, they have to be careful as well. On a tam, nobody knows it's a tam. Nobody's done, never gored before. Therefore, it's an unknown. You better protect it good. But once already it's a mu'ad, so the responsibility lies also on the people to be careful from such an animal. So therefore, shemira pechota would be sufficient. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, en lo shemira ela sakin. The only way you can watch a mu'ad is with the knife. Which means you gotta kill it. Let's read that she taught over here. Mantana. Mu'ad bishmira pe'uta sagile. Mani matnitin. Who's the author of our Mishnah? The Amar Tzon Shezika Beshen Veregelu.
Da'ainu mu'ad b'tchilato. Ah, very good. How do you know our Mishnah, by the way, is talking about a mu'ad? It just said, son. Do I know if it's a mu'ad or not? What was the damage? Son doesn't damage with goring. Sheep don't have horns. What's the damage of a son? Either shin, right? Like the case where the dad went into the guy's field and ate his fruit. Or negev. Shin and negev is mu'ad the first time. There's no such thing as a tam by shin and negev. Tam was only said by kidin, right? So therefore, the ainu mu'ad b'tchilato. And what does it still say? That so long as you had a regular Shemirah in front of the son, it's okay. Sagi lebni alakar dainu Shemirah perotak adukim nashir chalam adurach mesuya viyatiru ashena mesuya lo kaeh. Which is, if a wild wind would come, the door is not going to stand up. That means it's a Shemirah perota. Okay. Kasro ba'alav neshor v'na'am v'falav k'ro v'gansinan tam hayav t'lo sagi lef kontav tamad b'yudav p'lek shol shtagaf v'ayin b'il eze panik atrafayin d'idru b'im'il miyu v'shmirav me'ola sagi lef v'idu sabal let n'itruta le mu'ad. The b'il eze holds there is no protection for a mu'ad. So we have three shitot. Rabbi Meir says you need shemirah me'ola, Rabbi Yehuda shemirah pechuta, and Rabbi Eliezer sakin. So who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda that says mu'ad is enough with a shemirah pechuta. So comes the Gemara and says, "Afilu tema Rabbi Meir." No, I could say that our Mishnah is even going like Rabbi Meir. Oh, that what? When did he say you need a shemirah meula? That's only by keren. V'shani shem v'regel that Torah mi'ata b'shmiratan. When it comes to shem v'regel, the Torah downgrade. You don't need such a big shemirah. When did I say you need a shemirah meula? That's by keren. I'm still talking about Keren. I'm still talking about Shem V'Regel. And I'm going to have a Shem V'Regel. You can get away with a lesser Shemirah. How do you know that? There are four items that the Torah downgraded the Shemirah. You don't need a great Shemirah. What are the four items? Eluhin. Bor, Ve'esh, Shen, V'Regel. How do we know Bor? How do I know that a Bor is enough to make a Shemirah? Pe'ota, Dechtiv. V'chi yiftach ish Bor, O ki yichre ishbor velo yichasinu. Right? You didn't cover it. Hakisau patur. But if you covered it, it's okay. It's mashma. You don't need such a big shemirah. Even a minimal covering is already off took on the board. So you see what? Shemirah pechuta is good. Which means, shemirah me'ula would mean if you filled it up with dirt. But does he have to fill it up with dirt? Just as you just have to cover it. So you see what? The Torah minimizes your responsibility on the shemirah of a board, even just with a kisui is enough. Esh, how do you know esh? Fire. Dichtiv, shalem, yishalem, mabair et abaira. The guy that made the fire has to pay. Ad de'avid ke'en mabair, which means he has to be posheya. But if he wasn't a posheya and his fire went out of his field and damage, you're going to be patur, which means when it says hamabair, sounds like he was active. Okay? So therefore we learn from over there that only if he was a posheya, but if it happened, he was shomer his things normally and went out, he'll be patur. So you see what? Ish also is enough for shemirah pe'ot ha-shen, dechtiv ubi'er b'sdeh acher, ad da'avid ke'en ubi'er, which means, where you actually took your animal ubi'er, and you brought it into somebody else's field. But as long as you put a shemirah, even pe'ota, it's okay. Regel dechtiv v'shilach, Ad da'avid ke'en v'shilah. You sent it into somebody's field to trample. Right? To walk. But if it just went on its own and you made a shemirah pechuta, that will be enough. So therefore you see what? Shen v'regel esh em bor shemirah pechuta. It's like v'tanya. How do you know the word v'shilah? I was talking about regel. Because from the writer. V'tanya. V'shilah. You sent your animal to somebody else's field. Zeh ha'regel. וכן הוא אומר, משלחי רגל, השור והחמור. וביער, when it says, וביער, זה השן. וכן הוא אומר, כאשר יבער גלל עד תומו. Like it says over there, גלל is a tooth. Right? כאשר יבער הגלל, like the tooth destroys until its completion, which means that's ביער, referring to the animal's destruction. In the Torah, it doesn't say the word שן. The Torah doesn't say the word regel. It says, "Veshilach et be'iro." You sent this animal. Veshilach. So the Gemara says, "Veshilach means regel." You sent and it trampled on somebody else's. Ubi'er. What's a bi'er? Bi'er means it. It ate. It devoured. So whenever you see the word ubi'er, it's shin. Veshilach is regel because we know. Our Mishnah could be even Rabbi Meir that holds what? Shemira pechuta is enough for shin and regel. One more line. Tama David ken v'shilachu bi'ayim. Right. Only when you actually did it v'shilach, you sent your animal on purpose. Or ubi'ayim, you sent your animal to go eat.
But
if you made a shemira, even if you made a shemira pe'uta, you put a simple door over there, and the animal broke out, you didn't send it. As a matter of fact, you protected it, albeit not the best shemira, but you protected it to a certain degree. Torah is coming to tell you not hayav. So therefore, keren, that's what the Bimeir says, you need a shemira me'ula, Bimeir. So, but in shemiregel, ad da'avid ke v'shilach ubi'ahed, which means you just were reckless. Mashiach, if you had even a shemina pe'ota, you will be patu. Therefore, Amishnah that says that koneso nadir is talking about we made a shemina pe'ota, even alibad Rabbi Meir, and that's why you're going to be patu if it goes out and damages and eats from somebody else's. The Mishnah is also meduyeket that we're talking about shen. Diktani son, because the Mishnah's koneso nadir, sheep, mechdi, mishor ka'askinan. Which means until now, we were dealing always with shor. Ve'ate nitni shor. So you should continue and tell me shor. Why did the Tana all of a sudden start talking about sheep? Lav mishum that Torah mi'ata b'shmiratam. Must be that what? To teach me that the Torah was mima'et b'shmiratam. Lav mishum dekan keren lo ketiva ba. Shen v'regelu dechtiv ba, which means we're not talking about keren over here. Because there's no keren by tzon. Ela must be talking about shen. V'kamash manan, the shen v'regel, the mu'adim hu. And it's teaching me that shen v'regel mu'adim mitchila, the first time you're hayab. Shema mina, that even Rabbi Meir will tell me, shemina pechuta, a minimal shemina, putting a door in front of the shen, the animal, the son, is considered a proper shemina. So the Gemara proves it from the lashon of the Mishnah that talks about tzon. ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן ואמן.